Hello, everybody, and welcome to All Sports Best, the podcast. I'm Trey Gonzalez, and I'm very excited to introduce our next guest. His name is David Martinelli. He's a former teammate of mine, a Phillies draftee, and a stud baseball player from Dallas Baptist as well. David, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's good to be able to catch up, kind of see where things have gone since the last time we've talked. I haven't talked to you since, I think, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. More than that.
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah, around then, man. It's been a little bit, yep.
So I wanted to start out with just kind of where baseball started for you. I know that you are from Waxahachie, which has taken me a little bit to learn, Texas. When did baseball start for you, and what was it about baseball that drew you in?
Well, I started at a really young age. You know, I played T-ball. I played a lot of sports growing up. But it always seemed that baseball was just where I wanted, I guess, I wanted to be at a baseball field, I guess, more than anything. My brother, so I have two brothers, and they're 12 and 13 years older than me.
Okay.
And so they're around a lot when I was growing up, and they're big sports guys. And so, you know, we were always outside, you know, playing catch with the football, you know, baseball, you know, everything. We were always outside doing stuff. And, when I was really young, I played on a team. It was a local team. We were the Aggies. You know, a lot of my friends played on it. And I want to say I was about seven, maybe 8 years old. And we were a pretty good team, but there was always this one team. It was the Palmer Hurricanes. They would always beat us. And every time we played them, we were like, you know, we're going to get them this time. You know, they would always beat us. And,
wow.
And then eventually, I guess the Hurricanes approached my mom and my dad after a game, and they were like, hey, we play in these tournaments, you know, that I've never played any tournaments, or we play in these tournaments, and there's, you know, possibility of these World Series, you know, qualifiers and stuff like that. So they wanted me to play for them. And
wow.
So I ended up going to their team. Yeah, I ended up going to their team, and it got real serious real fast, and some of my best friends to this day played on that team, you know, and a lot of guys were from Waxahachie, and, you know, a lot of guys that I knew just because they were from Waxahachie, but there were some guys from Palmer and Itley, Texas, and kind of everywhere, you know, around the Metroplex, and we were so good. It was one of the most fun times I ever had playing baseball, and, you know, when you're little, there's nothing you're thinking about, and we were really good, and we ended up sticking together for a while. We didn't always stay, you know, as the Hurricanes, but as we kind of got older, we added more people. But the core team, I guess, kind of stayed the same. But I mean, honestly, that's where baseball, I guess, kind of took priority in my life. I think is when I was, you know, I want to say around 10 years old, and we were doing really well, and, you know, we were winning, and it was fun, man. And like I said, all my boys played it. And it was just, you know, it was a great time. I think that's kind of where, like I said, I think where baseball kind of took over as a priority in my life, I guess, when it came to sports.
Yeah, and I got a question for that era in your life. And that,
yeah.
You started out with the Aggies. You ended up with the Hurricanes. Was there beef at that point? Because, I mean, it sounded like you just up and left. I mean, obviously it was a better choice.
No. So the season when I played with the Aggies, it was only like a league, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And our league was done at that time after the final game. And then that's when they approached my parents, and they're like, hey, we'd love for your son to come play with us in these tournaments. So I never played against the Aggies or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was never like that. And I think we actually ended up adding a couple people from the Aggies eventually. On that team, on the Hurricanes. So, yeah, no beef.
No beef.
No, sir.
How many sports did you play growing up? Obviously, baseball was number one, but you were involved in other sports.
Yeah. I played soccer, basketball. I played hockey, football. That's about it. But football, I mean, it was mainly, you know, when I was in fourth grade, I think football, basketball, and baseball were the main three. And my first year of football, I think, was fourth grade, and I fell in love with football. I think football, honestly, might be my favorite sport, even over baseball. But I
really?
think Yeah, dude, I love football. Just I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Just growing up, that's kind of like how everything was. I didn't play football in high school though, which I do regret. But it was kind of a thing where I felt like baseball, there was a possibility of baseball becoming, I don't want to say a career, but, you know, could potentially lead to college and stuff like that. And so right. I think I kind of wanted to focus more on baseball. And I was kind of scared of getting hurt, you know, playing football and kind of how that would affect me. But, yeah, man, I would say basketball, you know, throughout junior high, basketball, football, and baseball were definitely the top three.
So from what I've looked up and what I was able to research on you was that you excelled in baseball. It was an obvious, it was a good choice. You made a good choice on the sport that you decided to follow up on. 2013 MVP of your high school All-Star game. And one of the lasting impressions that I'm sure that has left a big imprint on your mind was in the state playoffs. You had a no-hitter and a solo home run to lead your team to advance to the next round, and you were actually featured on MLB Fan Cave. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was crazy. So, I never really considered myself a pitcher. I did close for our high school team, just because, I mean, I felt like I could throw pretty well, so I kind of just went in there and threw as hard as I could. Sure. I was a big max effort guy, and I only had two pitches. I had a curveball that was kind of like a slider, and then a fastball. And we had some really good pitchers, man. One of my best friends, his name's Trent Armstrong. He played at Arkansas Tech. He was kind of like our ace, I want to say. And he always started, you know, our like important games and stuff like that. And then the state playoffs come around, and we're our high school coach is a big, anytime there's a series, I guess, in the playoffs, he wants it to be a three-game series, because in baseball, man, anything can happen, right, in one game. Like, sure. It's not always the best team that wins, right? So, we wanted a three-game, and then this other team, it was McKinney North High School, and I think they were the best hitting team in 4A Texas high school baseball.
Wow.
They had, like, that, yeah, they were really good, man. And we we kind of butted heads, or our coach, the coaches did, I guess. You know, we wanted a three, they wanted a one game, and it ended up going to a coin toss, and they ended up winning, so it was a one game series. And my coach, I think the Monday before, so I think the game was on either Friday or Saturday, and at the Monday before that, my coach comes up to me and he goes, hey man, I think we're gonna start you in the game on Friday or Saturday, you know, whenever. And I was like, all right, sure. I mean, I had never really started, I guess, too much in high school. I did a couple times. I did the week before we played a team called Corsicana, who's a really good, they're a really good team, and they're pretty well known in the baseball community.
Okay.
And I started, and I think I went like maybe four or five innings, and then, you know, I did pretty good, whatever, and all that. But then I was thinking, you know, like, why isn't Trent or someone else starting for this game? Mm-hmm. But you know, I was happy to have the position. I mean I loved it, and it was crazy, man. And I, like, no joke, like, cannot make this up. We get to this place, it's an independent ball team, they're called the Grand Prairie Air Hogs, and so we play at their stadium.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's kind of like a neutral site, I guess. And I'm in the bathroom before the game, and I'm by myself, and like I'm in a stall, like you know, whatever. And then I hear these players walk in, right, and it's McKinney North players, and I had heard them talking, you know, and they were like, man, like, next week we're gonna, you know, if, like, whoever, we have to play the winner of this next week, whatever. Like, they weren't even thinking about us.
They're just thinking past you.
Yeah, honestly. And then I promise this happened, bro. Like, cannot make it up. And you know, I was like, whatever, man. Like, you know, I kind of got a little mad, you know, whatever. They didn't know I was in there, and they ended up leaving. Then I ended up leaving. And before the game, like I said, I was kind of a max effort pitcher, man. And our pitching coach he's like, tell me whatever you need to do to get ready for this game, like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, all right. So I always long toss before the game, like, as far as I could possibly throw it, I long toss. And then we get to the bullpen, and I think I throw three or four fastballs as hard as I can. And I'm like, coach, I'm good. Like, I don't need anything else. Like, let's get going.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And so we end up, we were the visiting team, and the first AB, or my, I was the leadoff hitter on our high school team, and first pitch of the game, this guy drills me, like, up in the shoulder, and I was like, you know, oh,
and that's
gosh,
your throwing arm.
Yeah, I was like, here we go, like, whatever. So then, you know, the game's kind of going on, and I'm, you know, I'm pitching really well, and everything's going good, and I had some awesome defensive plays behind me. So I played shortstop in high school, and the shortstop who was behind me, I think he was a sophomore at the time. He made an unbelievable play, man. It was nuts. It was like it was a backhand, like spinning backhand throw to first base to get a runner out.
Wow.
It was nuts. And then my second AB came up, ended up hitting a home run. You know, we were up 1-0. I was fired up, and all this stuff's going on. And then around the fifth inning, I'm like looking at the, you know, scoreboard, and I'm like, dang, they haven't had a hit yet. And I think I had walked the same guy twice. So I think I had like two walks, and then. Sixth inning rolls around, still no hits, and it's still 1-0. Like we're not really scrapping anything together, and then they're not scrapping anything together. And then it's the seventh inning, bottom of the seventh, and I think the top of their lineup's up. And you know, I'm still kind of like, I'm pretty sure they haven't gotten a hit yet. You know, I didn't want to look at the scoreboard because I'm kind of like a,
you didn't want to jinx yourself.
Yeah, a little bit. And in the dugout, everybody was kind of leaving me alone. Like everybody's up on the fence, and I'm kind of sitting on the bench, just like. Kind of like to myself a little bit, because you know I'm just kind of locked in a little bit, and yeah, man. Yeah. Seventh inning, go out there, 1-2-3. We ended up going to the next round and no hitter and stuff, and yeah, it was on Yahoo, MLB Fan Cave. You know, there's a couple pictures that were tweeted out and stuff like that. But it was, I mean, it was crazy, man. And that was the first game of my high school career that I'd ever pitched and gone seven innings too. So that, and I think it was ended up being the only one. I think we lost in the next round. But yeah, dude, it was something I'll never forget. I mean, it was, like I said, we had Waxahachie is a pretty big baseball town, and we had a lot of fans there, and they were going nuts. You know, and I had some family there that came down to watch the game. So, you know, like I said, there was a couple defensive plays that really saved me. So, you know, it wasn't just me. You know, there's always, I feel like in any no-hitter perfect game, there's always like one or two plays that are like close calls and stuff like that, man. But, yeah, dude, it was awesome. Something I'll never forget.
No kidding. And that's not a bad first start. First and last start on the mound for your high school career. Did the trash talking ever get exposed? Like, I know you're telling me this right now, but did – at the time, did anybody ask you or interview you and say, you know, what was it about that game that really got you fired up, or did it kind of go unsaid?
No, it went unsaid. I did, whenever I got out of the, when I came back to the dugout from the bathroom, you know, before the game had started, no one, we hadn't warmed up yet or anything, and I came back and I kind of told everybody, you know, we had a lot of seniors on the team who had been varsity starters for 3+ years, and I was like, hey, man, listen, I was in the bathroom, and these dudes are, you know, they're already not thinking about us, you know, whatever. And there's some other things that were said, you know, I don't want to say them on here, but,
sure.
You know, it was never like a plot point, I guess. I never really was like, hey, yeah, they were talking crap. Like, that's what they get, you know. I didn't really care. I was just happy that we won the game, honestly. But it definitely fired me up a little bit before. It was a little extra motivation, I think.
You had an obvious successful career in high school, multiple honors throughout your high school career. You decide to go to Dallas Baptist. Was that an easy decision? Was it kind of just something that you've wanted to do? Or did you have multiple offers that you had to sift through and decide, okay, this is where I'm gonna end up going?
Yeah. I had a couple visits kind of set up to some other schools. But then there's a guy, his name's Boomer Collins, and he's like a legend at from Waxahachie. He was a quarterback of the football team, stud man, and then he played center field for the baseball team, and ended up he went to Nebraska out of high school, and then ended up going to Dallas Baptist. And honestly, like I had never really thought about DBU, and I didn't really, I guess, know how DBU like that they were even, you know, competitive, I guess. And then so Boomer calls me and he's like, hey man. Just want to, you know, kind of give you a heads up, like, our coaches are going to be contacting you. And he's like, man, let me tell you about our program and our coach. And he's like, listen, man, if you want to be a professional hitter and all this stuff, like, we have the best hitting coach in the country. Like, he's like, I'm not trying to pressure you into anything. He's like, I wish someone would have told me out of high school about Dallas Baptist, because I would have been here in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, he was. Wow. So it was pretty cool, and you know, they were on me for pitching actually at first, which is funny. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a couple showcases and stuff in the summer, and they had never seen me hit just because I think the one game they came and saw me, I was pitching for my summer team. And so they were on me for pitching a little bit, and I was like, you know, I don't want to pitch in college. Like, I want to be a hitter and all this stuff. And then I went to a showcase at a Minute Maid in Houston.
Oh, that's awesome.
And did really well. And then they called me on the, I was on the way home, and they called me. They're like, hey, we had no idea you were a hitter too. They were like, we would love to have you, whatever. And went on a visit and loved the place. They were building their new stadium, which is unbelievable. You know, there was a guy who actually went to a rival high school of mine. It's from Ennis, Texas. His name is Joseph Shaw. Mm-hmm. He was there. So whenever, and I had played him in high school. And so whenever we went, I came on my official visit. He was there, and we got to talk a lot, and we hung out. He was like, "Listen, man, you know," he kind of told me the same spiel that Boomer did, and I didn't take any other visits, man. I committed.
Wow.
Pretty soon to that. Yeah, that's a good impression. I just knew that if I wanted to pursue baseball, that was the right place for me to go. So yeah, man, it was and I would like to think it's probably the best decision of my life besides deciding to marry my fiance right now, but right. She went to DBU too, so it ended up being, you know, it kind of correlates a little bit, but
yeah
dude, it was big time.
That's awesome. And congratulations, by the way.
I appreciate it.
Haven't told
it.
You sir. That yet, but
thank you.
Yeah, dude, you know what's funny is that I'm a couple years older than you, so I was playing at New Mexico State when Boomer was hitting. I think we played against Dallas Baptist. We were at home.
Yep.
We were trying to defend our home turf. I think he hit 4 or 5 home runs in a 3-game series.
Yeah.
It wasn't cool. It wasn't cool.
Yeah, that
I mean,
sounds about right.
I'll be honest with you. It was pretty cool to watch it happen, but on the pitching end of things, not so much.
I hear you. Yeah, he's a stud, man. He was a stud. He was an All-American, I think, one year, man. He hit like 380 with like 15 homers or something.
Jeez.
Like that. It was nuts. Yeah, dude, he's a stud.
Well, you were a stud, David. Dallas Baptist, you did a lot of good things there. Summer ball, you did a lot of good things. You played up until you finished with a stellar junior year. Multiple player of the weeks with Missouri Valley Conference. I might be missing some awards here. Louisville Slugger, freshman, All-American. What did you do when you found out about that?
It was funny, man. So it was actually like the week before I met you. It was kind of funny. So, you know, we had just finished. I think we lost our – we lost the regional. We were at a TCU regional. We went 2-2, unfortunately. And then I was at home kind of for a week before I ended up going to West Virginia. And then I see on Twitter, like, someone like mentioned me and said, "Hey, man, congrats." And I was like, "What?" You know, and then me and then another DBU player got freshman All-American. His name is Camden Duznak, who is a rock star. He's with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization right now.
Very cool.
So it's pretty cool, man. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of, you know, what you want to, you know, you play, you want to be with, you know, some of the best players. You know, that's, you know, you, to be an All-American is a great honor. And, I was fortunate enough to be a freshman All-American, and, you know, that was a good year, man. Cause then I got to go to West Virginia, and I got to meet some pretty cool guys there. So
yeah, there were some cool guys there. Okay, so you decided that, and I'm not sure if this was your decision, but you ended up being Kobe in college. You went from 23 to 33. What went into changing your number mid-college?
So one of the coaches from Dallas Baptist was getting their number retired, and it was number 23. Yeah. So I know. So it wasn't my decision, but it ended up working out really well, though, because throughout my life, I had always been – I double like the same number of when I was younger, 11 was my number. I was a big time 11 was it, and then when I got to high school, 44 was my number. And so, you know, like, you know what I'm saying, back-to-back numbers. And then they were like, you can pick your number whatever you want. And I think 11 and 22 were already taken, and I was like, 33 be cool. I'd never been 33 before, so
yeah.
I thought it looked good.
Wow. See, and I thought that maybe you decided that's the number that you wanted, you'd gotten rid of the 23 and you moved on to bigger and better things, but there was a bigger reason behind it. So you hit just under 300 for your college career. What went into your success at the plate? I know you said you had a really good coaching core. You had a really good hitting coach and all of that, but you also had to have, you know, a personal mentality. People go through college with the best equipment, best hitting coaches, everything like that, and can't succeed. What would you attribute most of your success to?
I mean, honestly, man, it goes, I think all the praise goes to our, just our coaches at DBU, man. When it comes to hitting and mindset of hitting, I don't think there's anybody better than Dan Heefner and Dan Fitzgerald. You know, both those guys, that's our, you know, our head coach and our assistant coach. Those guys are unbelievable. And my first two seasons, I had struggled with striking out, which, you know, as part of the game, I get it. But I had struck out quite a bit. You know, I was kind of a big swing and miss guy. And I remember before my junior year, you know, I had meetings with professional clubs and everything. And they were like, man, listen, you know, we like you and everything, but, you know, you kind of have a big red flag as you're swing and miss. You know, you strike out a lot, you know. And I understood, and, you know, I'm not oblivious to it by any means. And I knew that I strike out a lot, and that putting the ball in play more would, you know, help my chances, you know, I'd be able to succeed more, and it would just make, you know, it just helps in hitting, I feel like, trying to put the ball in play. But a big thing at DBU is, you know, we don't want to just put the ball in play. We want to hit the ball hard. We want to hit doubles and home runs. It was kind of a big change for me. And I don't want to say that I wasn't locked in as much my freshman and sophomore year, but my junior year, I was like, listen, this is what has to get done. Like, I can't strike out as much as I normally do. Yeah. If I want to be successful, and my coach knew that too. So, I mean, all fall, man, like I had a rough fall just trying to adjust to different things. It was kind of tough. And even right before the season started, man, we were doing inter-squads before the season started. I wasn't in season mode yet. And I was kind of, I just wasn't feeling it, I guess you could say. And I ended up I started off my junior year hitting in the 8 or 9 hole. And I was kind of upset because no one wants to hit 8 or 9. You know, I was blessed to be there and blessed to be able to just be in the lineup. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
You know, I wanted to be at the top of the lineup just because I thought I could, you know, definitely do it. And I think after the first week or the first weekend or so, I was doing really well. Everything was going good. And then I think around the second or third week, I got moved up to the two hole and just kept going and kind of just took off from there. And then I think I hurt my hamstring, and I was out for like 2 weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks. And then I came back in the lineup. I was back in the two hole, and while I was out, so I played center field, and there's a freshman, his name is Jameson Hanna, who was just recently a second round draft pick by the Athletics.
Wow.
He started playing center field, and he became our leadoff guy, and he's just unbelievable. Like, maybe the fastest guy I've ever seen. Just super strong guy, like unbelievable baseball player. Like, he'll be a big leaguer for sure. And so he kind of took over the center field role, and then I came back and started playing right field, and he was the leadoff, and I was the two hole. And man, he would get on base, man. He's just so fast. Like, anytime he'd get on base, you know, he would steal or something. He'd be on second base. And then he just gave me so many opportunities to drive in runs and everything, and kind of just kept going from there, man. And we ended up having a really good junior year. We ended up going to the Lubbock Regional. We were a 2 seed and ended up making it to the last possible game. The regional ended up losing to Texas Tech. But
that's right.
Yeah, man, it was any hitting credit is given to Dan Heefner and Dan Fitzgerald. And Craig Perry was our assistant coach at the time. He was like the what do you call that? Players coach kind of guy, you know.
Okay.
He wasn't,
personnel.
Yeah. But he was awesome. I can't give enough credit to those guys. Definitely with a plan and an approach and anything you could possibly imagine, just any drills to get my body ready for games, definitely goes to those guys.
A big part of approaches when it comes to, you know, walking up to the plate, you know, getting your mind right, feeling like you're in that same setting every time, has to do with the walk-up song. And I feel like I ask this question a lot because it really does mean a ton to a lot of players, a lot of hitters. David, what were your walk-up songs throughout college?
My freshman year, it was Ooh-Ah by Grits.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good one. You know, at DBU, we're a little limited. We can't have, there's some songs we're not allowed to have, right. Which is understandable, you know. And then my sophomore year, I think it was Pain by 3 Days Grace.
Very cool.
And yeah, and then my junior year, which was my favorite one, was God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Okay, yeah. I had heard that a couple of times with some walkout songs, and it does. It's like it gets you into that mood and that, yeah, you know, that rugged mood.
Yeah.
We met in Beckley, West Virginia, where we played summer ball together for the West Virginia Miners. You came a little late, started raking immediately. I think we talked about this off air. I think the first game that I had that first impression of you, you hit a home run and kind of went from there. What did summer ball do for you throughout your career?
Well, I think any hitter knows that hitting with metal and hitting with wood are two completely different things, and it takes more. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, you kind of get to where you're away from your family. You kind of get a minor league baseball feel. You're away from your family. You know, you're staying with, you know, strangers, and then you have to meet a bunch of new people all over again, and you see them every day. And the hours are kind of weird. You get, you know, bus rides, hotels, and stuff like that. I loved it, man. I had a great time. Trevor Kahn, who was just recently the Missouri Valley Pitcher of the Year, he's one of my best friends. He's actually a groomsman in my wedding. Me and him got to drive. We drove from Houston to Beckley, and then we stayed with the same host family, so we got to spend a lot of time with each other, really got to know each other. We were roommates at DBU, actually, and then I think we lived together all 3 years that I was there, and then met some great guys, man. You know, I got to meet you, and then, you know, there was a lot of good guys on the team, and I think more than anything, I remember, you know, you'll remember the guys and the teammates that you have and the experiences you have with those guys more than you will than playing baseball.
Sure.
And it's crazy, too, man. There was multiple guys that I played against in that league that I played against in other summer leagues and then continued to play them against them in the minor leagues too, which is pretty cool. And it's, you know, it's fun to explore other parts of the country too, man. I've never been to West Virginia or, you know, Ohio and all the other places that we went, with that squad. So it was fun, man. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can totally relate. Was there and we had some good times. After your junior year, you were drafted to the Philadelphia Phillies. What did that feel like?
It was crazy. And so I had a couple guys. I had some friends over, some family over, and we were all there. And it's funny, man. I was actually going to the bathroom upstairs, and then I just hear everybody start yelling, and I was like, I missed it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know.
A lot of your big moments happened in the bathroom.
Yeah, dude. It's freaking bad. And so I ran downstairs and everybody's there and you know, my mom kind of started crying and everything just because my mom and my dad had done everything possible to give me any opportunity with baseball growing up, and for them to, you know, see it finally pay off a little bit, and for me, because, you know, it'd always been a dream of mine, and for them to see it come true was awesome. And you know, had a couple days to get some stuff sorted out, and then I got flown up to Philly. And I got to meet, we got to go to a couple of Phillies games, and I was there with a couple other players who just got drafted: Jake Kelzer, Grant Dyer, Henry Lartigue, Julian Garcia, and Justin Miller. And we were all there, and those are some of my best friends now, man. It was awesome. We got to meet everybody sooner than I got to meet anybody else. I met those guys, and they're just the greatest guys, man. I tell you, and. You know, we stayed at a hotel, we all got to hang out, and then we ended up doing our physicals and stuff to make sure, you know, everything was good before we signed our contracts, and then signed our contracts, they flew us out to Florida, and then that's where it started, man.
I gotta know, what was the first thing you bought after, or first significant thing that you bought after signing your first professional contract?
Ooh, what was the first significant thing?
Yeah.
Ooh, man. I want to say a gun, man. I'm going to be honest.
Nice.
I think it was a gun. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if it was my AR or my shotgun, but it was one of them.
Wow.
It was something that was the first time I was, you know, I had money to myself And I was like, you know what? I'm going to splurge on something.
That's a cool first thing to buy from Texas. That's, you know,
yes, sir.
It's almost like you have to do that.
I mean, pretty much. It was like, you know, people were pressuring me to buy it, right? So
that's pretty awesome, man. Life in the minor leagues has been described as being rough, being tough on the bus. You experience a little sneak peek of it, you know, in summer ball and some of the things that you did throughout your career. But what was minor league like? Was it as rough as they say it is?
Dude, it is, man. I mean, there's no possible way you can honestly be prepared for it. You just have to take it day by day. So my first full season I played in Lakewood, New Jersey. And luckily, one of my best friends who's also groomsman in my wedding, his name's Derek Hall. He was the MVP of this league, last year, and he ended this year in Double A. I mean, he is just a stud. He's from DBU. He's a stud. We got to go play together in Lakewood, and we stayed with the same host family, who the Billy and Chrissy Quinn, who were just two of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. And they were our host family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. And so it's pretty crazy. So you show up to spring training, man, and every morning you have the latest you can be there is 7 o'clock. Like, the door kind of locks at 7. It's for, you know, like, they, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily lock, but they don't want you to be there past 7. So I'd wake up at about 5:30 every morning and then head to the field around 6:15, to eat breakfast. And we do a thing, it's called tissue prep. And it's basically just, you know, rolling out and doing stretches, kind of getting your body ready for the day, and stuff like that. And then we have a big meeting with the coordinators, and they kind of tell you what's going on throughout the day. And the first week you don't do as much, but then you start playing games, and then you're there. I mean, you're there from 6 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Then you get back to the hotel. You eat dinner at this restaurant they have. There is called Lenny's for the Phillies, at least. And then, I mean, you just chill for a while, man. And then you go to sleep, and you do that for about, you know, 4 straight weeks. And then you get assigned to a team, and then you're going with this team. You know, we flew out to Lakewood, and it was freezing cold, man. Oh, my gosh, it was so cold. I think we played in it was Kannapolis. I'm not sure where Kannapolis is or what state it is it's in, but, you know, it's northern, and it was freezing the first time we get there, man. And so, you know, all that figured out, but it's a day normally, you know, when we play a game at 6:30, right?
And right.
We'll have to get to the field around – man, I don't know, 11, I want to
wow.
say. Yeah, and, you know, we have to get 3 lifts in a week, so sometimes you get to the field earlier so you can lift, and then, well, they'll have lunch for you sometime, or most of the time, and then you eat lunch, and then we'll do a bunch of stuff, man. We'll go out, we'll stretch, we'll throw, we'll take BP, sometimes we'll do a fundamental, you know, like first and thirds or rundowns, something like that, and then, you know, we'll go back up, have a spread, you know, we'll have, like, some sandwiches and stuff. Come back out for in and out, play a game, or go back in, then come back out, play a game. And then the bus trips, the shortest bus rides at Lakewood, there were a couple that were in Maryland that were like 6 hours away, I think.
That was the shortest.
And the farthest was,
wow,
18, I think, 18 hours.
Jeez.
So, like, yeah, man, I mean, there'd be days, I think it's 140 games in 150 days. And then I think out of the 10 off days, I think we had about 6 that were actually off days, and the other 4 we were on the bus traveling.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, man, I mean, there, you know, 12-hour bus ride after a game, man, we leave, you know, after the game's done, we eat, get on the bus, we leave, and then we're on the bus from 11 at night until noon the next day, and then, you know, you got to play a game that day too. So then you get to the field, you know, we get to the hotel, everyone just kind of chills for a little bit. And our coach had some feel, so we didn't always get off the bus and then go straight to the field, which was nice. We got to chill for a little bit, and then we'd kind of do a show and go with, you know, BP in the cages and stuff like that, man. But it's just long. You know, you're on a bus a lot, but you honestly, you just, it's kind of like the military in a way, where you're kind of in a crappy situation, but you're in it with a bunch of guys who, you know, I have a ton of friends that I'll be friends with forever, you know, and I hope a lot of my buddies that I played with, they make it to the big leagues, because I think that'd just be so cool to be like, yeah, man, I play with these guys, and these guys are at my wedding, you know, like,
yeah,
stuff like that, you know. So it's fun, man. It really is. In hindsight, it was a lot of fun, but when it's happening, it's kind of crappy.
Yeah, I can imagine. You said,
but you know, it's just your mindset at the same time too.
That's a good point. And I know that I've talked to a few people that have experienced the minor leagues or currently in the minor leagues, and they say that, you know, you almost pick a personality when you're on the bus. You're that guy that's reserved and, you know, sleeping a lot, or you're, right, you know, right in the middle of things. A lot of times the second one pays off a little more in the long run, right?
100%. Yeah, man, we played, luckily we had a bunch of, like I said, we had a bunch of great guys on our team, and our bus, we would play Mafia on the bus, dude, all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dude, we'd play it for hours, and we would try to get as many people as we could in there, and you know, it was a lot of fun just to kind of see people, like, you know, different. You start learning how people play the game too, so then you kind of got to start switching up your personality a little bit. So it was fun, man. It was a blast.
That's pretty cool, and I think that a lot of players can relate to that. High school, college, doesn't matter. You know the bus games you play, you know the dugout games you play, bullpen, and all of that. It's right. Something that you play. You're basically, you know, doing a kid's game for a profession. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's crazy, man. I was blessed beyond belief to be able to do the things that I did and meet the people that I did. There's no amount of words I could say to express how thankful I am for those experiences.
Man, you finished up with baseball after a hell of a career, awesome college career. Finishing up in the minor leagues, getting drafted, which is not something that a lot of people can say that they did. So obviously you were really blessed in baseball. There's no doubt. What is it that you're up to these days? What is it that you could catch us up on?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I finished with baseball, you know, I got released, in spring training of this year. And, you know, I was told, like, hey, if, you know, if we want to give your, information to any other teams, we'd be more than happy to, if you want to keep playing. And honestly, at that point, man, I was kind of finished with baseball. I just felt like it was time for me to move on and go back to school. I still have one more year of school to do. So that's what I'm doing right now, man. Going to school right now, and then I'll have, you know, I'm getting married in December, and then I'll finish up by next May, if everything goes as planned. And then, yeah, man, try and get a job and start living life, man. I guess, you know, like I said, it's right when I got done, I was working a part-time job for a little bit, and, you know, I had a couple months to myself to just be able to kind of unwind, man. And it's been great, you know. Now I get to see my fiance every day, and,
yeah,
and I there's no, it's funny because in the off season of when baseball's going on, it's like, yeah, it's the off season and I get to see everybody, but there's time, like, you know, there's only so much time I get to see my fiance through the year.
Yeah.
When I play baseball, and it's like I want to spend as much time with her as I possibly can, during the off season, because then we won't have time together during the season, right?
Right.
But now it's like, well, now I see her every day, and there's no pressure to always have to hang out with her, so we get to do a lot more fun stuff, and she's actually gotten to meet a couple of my closest friends and their, you know, their girlfriends and fiancés, so she's, you know, getting to meet all these new people. And we went up to Michigan for her family's family reunion this year, and I got to meet pretty much every single person in her family, which was awesome. Yeah. They're great people, and yeah, man, I mean, it's been great. You know, trying to start getting into golf soon, but it hasn't happened yet. But I've actually started doing CrossFit here in Grapevine, in Irving, in Texas, and it is awesome, man. It's I'll never go back to working out at just a regular gym anymore. It's so really? Much fun, man. And yeah, man, I met some great people, and yeah, dude, just that's pretty much it, man. Going to school, working out, and that's it.
You're living the adult life now, David.
The adult life, that's right.
Any business listeners out there that are checking out the interview that you're listening to right now, just got to let you know that there is a free agent available in May as soon as you graduate. Right.
Please hire me.
What is it that you kind of are looking to go into with business management?
Man, I've been asked that question so many times, and I still don't know, man. It's hard to explain, like, my interest. Like, I don't necessarily want to be in sales. I worked at a logistics firm of Perimeter Global Logistics part time for about 2 months. And that wasn't for me. I was just working there part time to help out, a family friend. But man, I don't know. My fiance's dad is a prominent businessman. He's one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. He's just an amazing influence, and you know, I kind of need to sit down with him and kind of see some job options that are out there, because I guess I haven't really been exposed to as many as I think I'd like. So that I think that conversation needs to take place sooner rather than later. But yeah. I keep pushing it off, I guess.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that too, man. It's kind of nice to be back in college, enjoy the college life. Okay, so this is a sports podcast, and a lot of times we like to ask some stuff on your opinion, maybe for sports themselves, things that are going on. You're a huge football guy. You mentioned that at the beginning of the interview. You participate in fantasy football. This year, your draft was very successful. Can you tell me about who your first overall draft pick was and kind of how it went after that?
So I have my league. It's a PPR league. So my first, I think I was the fifth pick of the first round. So I took Antonio Brown. You can't go wrong. I would have liked to maybe get a good running back first round, but I think, you know, Le'Veon and Zeke and David Johnson and Todd Gurley were all taken. And I was like, I can't pass up on Antonio Brown. So I swiped Antonio Brown first round. And if, you know, I'm trying, I mean, I'd like to keep him, but if you know, if someone wants to trade me, you know, if I can get some good stuff from Antonio Brown, then it's all worth it. But he's my golden goose right now, man.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. Yep. Very cool. And you said that your quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. You have a really stacked team from what it sounds like.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Who is your favorite Major League Baseball team growing up and even now?
I mean, I'd have to say the Rangers, man. I used to go to the Ranger games all the time, and you know, my family's never really been baseball people. It's not that they didn't like it, but they weren't as interested in it as I was. So it kind of caught everybody off guard that I was, you know, I love playing baseball and all this stuff. Everyone was kind of like, oh, well, I mean, you know, I guess that's cool. You know, as a kid, he likes playing baseball. And then I think once I started getting a little older, they started realizing like, hey, like maybe he's got a shot to do something. Yeah. But so it was kind of weird. My grandma was a big, my Mimi, she was a big Texas Rangers fan. She loved Rafael Palmeiro.
Wow.
I used to watch the Rangers with her all the time. And then my buddy Trent, who I mentioned earlier, who pitched at Arkansas Tech, me and him used to go to Ranger games all the time with his family. I'd have to say the Rangers, man, the Texas Rangers.
Very cool. Very cool, man. Hey, I really appreciate you for being on the show, taking the time throughout your day to get on the podcast, take this interview. And it really means a lot. You have some amazing stories. We'll have to catch up more on those. But David, do you have any shout outs that you'd like to give to anybody important in your life or maybe throughout your baseball career?
Yeah, man. Trey, I have to shout you out, bro. I appreciate you having me on here.
Thank you.
It's great to be able to talk to you again. It's been a while, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Shout out to my fiance, Mackenzie Hamilton, soon to be Martinelli. I love you, babe. Just shout out to, you know, my family. You know, my mom, my dad, Victoria, Jordan, Nathan, and Blake. I love you guys. I'd have to give a shout out to my boy Jameson. Like I said, he was second round draft pick this year. And you're hearing it from me right now. He's going to be a big leaguer. So if anything happens with that guy, you come back to this right now, and this guy is going to be a big leaguer. He's a stud. I love you, bro. Maybe a shout out to the Hamilton family, my fiance's family. Thank y'all for taking me in and just being such an amazing supporting role throughout my baseball career and now throughout life. I don't know what I'd do without y'all. I love y'all. I'm missing something. Blake Doolin, he was a hitting coach of mine when I was younger. I'll get to see him in December. He was a big influence on my baseball career. You know, I want to give a shout out to the Phillies for giving me the opportunity to play baseball at the minor league level. Thank y'all so much for that. I think that's it, man. Like I said, Trey, bro, I really appreciate you having me on here. I had a great time. You know, I love talking to you, and I hope this podcast blows up, man. It's awesome. I think it's so cool what you're doing.
Thank you.
And yeah, man, thank you for having me on here.
I appreciate that, man. Could you give the listeners your social media handle? Me, you might pick up some followers off this.
Yes, sir. So it's Twitter and Instagram. It's at D Martinelli Jr. That's D M A R T I N E L L I Jr. J-R for Twitter and for Instagram.
Awesome, man. Hey, once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Always wish you the very best of luck in life now that you're pursuing business and finishing up your college career. I got to say, good luck with that and finish out strong.
I appreciate it, man. If you're ever in Dallas, man, give me a holler.
Absolutely. Hey guys, don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.